The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about it, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be open." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded by measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning, and please be seated. Last week, Jesus had an encounter with some of the people that he believed in and yet disagreed with. He had Pharisees and scribes, and he had this conversation with them, which was pretty heated. And he walks away both disappointed and shaken by what has happened, because that initiates a certain kind of division between Jesus and his people. These people now are very angry with Jesus and beginning to plan his death. And so Jesus leaves, and he wants to get away. And the scripture says that he goes up to the region of Tyre. Do you know that Tyre is 104 miles away from where he was? I mean, the guy didn't want to get far away enough. He goes completely into the Gentile territory where there are no Jews, as we think of, no Jews or anybody who really understood the Jews. In fact, they were against the Jews. And he goes up there trying to get a little R&R, trying to get, you know, the beachfront, maybe a piña colada. He figured he can sit back and take a few days of rest. But when he gets there, what he realizes is people still know who he is. And he tries to get into a person's house, we don't know who it is, and take a break. And while he does that, this woman, who is a Syrophoenician woman, comes to him. And when she comes to him, she's not even a Jewish woman. And what he does, the way he addresses her, is probably something that is very disturbing to all of us, because he doesn't treat her in a very good way. His response to her is indeed kind of rude, kind of coarse, almost demeaning. But she comes, and she comes in a way to try to let him know that she has respect for him. What parent among us who would see that there's a miracle healer coming into town and would never come again, which parent of us would not go and throw ourselves at the feet of this person to heal our little girl? And this is what she does. She goes there, she kneels, she bows down, and she throws herself to Jesus' feet, and she asks, "Can you help me?" And the first thing Jesus says is, these things are not for people. These things are not for everyone else. And the crumbs, they are for dogs. In other words, this is not something that you have. And I was wondering, and I'm going to get a little psychological here if I may. I was wondering, perhaps Jesus being shaken the week before, because he had this tension with his own people, the scribes and the Pharisees, if he's trying to really find out what it is that he believes in himself. After all, we're reading Mark and we're not reading John. Let me tell you the difference between them both. John is presenting Jesus as totally knowing. Jesus knows his mission. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus takes his life and Jesus gives his life. So Jesus, very much in the Gospel of John, knows everything about what he's expected to do. But in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is more discovering his mission. He's trying to figure it out. I mean, he knows he's the Son of God. He knows he has to bring the mission of the Word of God to the world. But he doesn't quite yet get what he has. He's still learning, okay? And so Jesus goes into this area, and this woman, who's different from him, barely speaks his language, wants something from him, and she asks him to heal her daughter. And Jesus is somewhat afraid because of the experience he had with his friends in Jerusalem, the encounter that he had. And so he figured, what do I hold on to when I'm afraid? What are the beliefs and what are the truths that I'm going to stick with when I'm not sure what's going on? And this woman teaches Jesus in one respect something very profound and very different and something that we will benefit by learning ourselves. And that is that God himself, God's love, is much wider than we give God credit for. And we see it through Jesus' eyes. Because Jesus now is confronting this woman. And when this woman says that even the children eat the crumbs from the table, what she's saying is she's doing like a judo on Jesus. You know, she's like turning around. She's not getting offended. She's not walking away. She is standing up because this now is for the love of her daughter. She stands up to Jesus and she says, even the crumbs that fall off the table, they are for the children. And that's okay. And Jesus is kind of taken aback. And Jesus at that point says, well, then, your words have convinced me that your love is much greater than anything that I could have understood. And by doing that, then he tells her, go home and your daughter is going to be healed. Now, this is the lesson here, because what you see is Jesus going into a strange area, a Gentile area, where he wanted to get away from his religious duties where his brothers and sisters relied. And now he's confronted with a situation where someone is ill and someone is not doing well. And he has now to reach out in love in a way that he didn't understand before, because he thought until then that he was just for the Jewish people, just for the children of Israel. And God, the great God above, is teaching him in a sense that love is much greater than our idea of who deserves it and who doesn't deserve it. And so Jesus is a perfect example and a wonderful example to show us that God's love extends boundaries, that God's love is much more than any religious tradition that we can think of. We tend to bind ourselves and limit ourselves by our religious ideology. And Jesus clearly is both teaching and learning at this point that God's love is way beyond any kind of limitation we can place on it. Who can tell God who to love? Who can tell God what to do? Who can tell God who's good and who's bad? In this instance, Jesus sees that love is much more than any religious ideology. And he sees it and he's taken in. And then we see him later on going on to the Decapolis, another Gentile area, another place where you don't really expect Jewish people to be around. And he comes into another man who is also deaf and mute. And so what he does, he takes him out. It sounds like a little hocus pocus. He spits. He does all kinds of things. He sticks his fingers in his ears. He says, what's going on here? But what he does, he says a word, be open. Be open, he says to this man. And suddenly he's able to speak and see. And I take from this that Jesus at that moment had realized what his mission was to be. To be open to God's revelation wherever it is, in places that are not familiar, in people that are not tasteful, in situations that are difficult for us to understand. Be open, because it is in those moments that we can indeed see the very precious reality of God calling us to become more than we are. That's what our position in this world is, to be open to wherever God's Spirit is expressing itself and calling upon us, to be responsive to it. Again, we walk with blinders sometimes because we're afraid. And maybe I'm reading too much into this, but Jesus, I imagine, was afraid because he knew these people were so angry at him when he had this confrontation with them in Jerusalem. And he's wondering, where do I stand? And the end of the story is that you stand on love. That love is above anything, any idea, any reality, any religious expression or tradition, that above all, we stand for love, and we stand for the stranger, and we stand for those people who still may not know God, but God is calling us through them. And so Jesus learns a great lesson, and maybe we can learn a lesson as well from this reading of Mark. And that is, you know, in a church, we have people that come to visit us, and the Reverend Judith and myself are doing a forum this afternoon on welcoming and that sort of thing. When the stranger comes into our community, the thing happens sometimes is that they have to figure out, is this a place where I belong? Is this a place I have to fit in? And what we do sometimes is we tolerate perhaps for a while until they actually get the way we do things, and then they can stay. Right? Otherwise, they get the little looks and, you know, attitudes like, you know, you're not there yet, you know? But the point of it is, how do we make someone feel comfortable who's different than us? How do we embrace the stranger? How do we embrace the different? How do we embrace those who are not familiar with our ways? And this is something that has to come out of a deeper place than just ideas. It has to come from a deeper place than just tradition, from religious ideas. It has to come from a human place. It has to come from a deep reality of knowing what it is to be, you know, to be alone, to be frightened, to be uncertain, and to have someone say to you, I understand, you're welcome. Please just be yourself. Be yourself in my presence. Be yourself in this community. And we will love you. We won't turn you away. We won't try to make you something that you're not. How many of you had relationships with people who try to make you who you're not? I know you did. I know you had a boyfriend or girlfriend who says, you know, if you were just a little sweeter, you know, if you were just this way, I would love you a little more. And what do? You become sweeter and you become a little more, but you're not yourself. And what you do is you sell yourself off, and that person never really has the real you. And you never are the real you in the relationship. And so communities can do that as well. When people come into the community, there is a set way of being in a community. Thank God we're different. Thank God we're so different that, you know, we don't have that issue. And I always tell my friends that St. Timothy's is like cats. You know, you can't herd them. You know, it's impossible. And our T-shirts yesterday that we wore when we marched that says, you know, we may look the same, but we're not. That's so true in this community. But that's the very ground of our community. The fact that we can be different, the fact that we can argue, the fact that we can be upset with each other, we can do all kinds of things, but we still love each other, because that is the most important thing that we have, and that will bind us together. Because it's deeper and wider than ideas. Ideas are just moments, flickers that we try to grasp reality with, but they're not full enough. They don't contain it enough. It's that love that sees deeper. In the 14th century, there was this great mystic who wrote The Cloud of Unknowing, and he was confronting the issue, how does one know God? And so he finally came to experience that God is not something you know, God is something you love. Because only in love can your love embrace God. Only in love can you encompass the majesty of God. Only in love can you get the real essence of God. But with ideas, you can only go so far. They're like a little arrow that you shoot that just falls flat before it hits its target. It's not enough. But today we're challenged about loving the stranger, loving the person that comes into our community, just like Jesus was challenged. And this is what I really like about it, that Jesus can learn. God can learn. This is really a weird statement, perhaps. When God loves you, God enters into a position with you that he wants to learn from you. Because how can we love each other and not be surprised about what one person does? If we knew everything that person was going to do, could there be surprise? Could there be disappointment? Could there be pain? Could there be elation? God enters in a relationship with us, and God really trusts the relationship alone, so that in the relationship, God knows us and we know God. There are no absolutes in that regard, in that relationship. There's only an evolving and emerging of a relationship with God, given the relationship that you have with God. So God learns as well. If you think of God as a creative reality, God is constantly learning. We are constantly learning. We are constantly creating and becoming and emerging in ourselves. There are no absolutes in this world. Nothing is absolutely true. Everything is on its way towards the truth. And the celebration of life is to be on the journey with a wide open, be open, as he says to this man who was blind and deaf, be open to it and embrace its beauty and its joy and its power. So today we're encouraging us to listen to the world, to listen to each other, as Jesus listened to this woman, even though he was defended, or even though he was shaken by what happened, even though he wanted to guard himself and protect himself because he wasn't sure what to do, he still reached out to her. But you got to give credit to the woman too. She was not to be backed down. She was not going to be told what to do, honey. You know, she stood up to Jesus because love can do that. It's true love that stands up. Moses stood up to God because he loved his people. Remember when God was going to destroy them after they made the golden calf? And God said, move out of the way. Let me take care of these people. And he said, wait a minute. No. You can't do this. This doesn't look good, you know. The neighbors are going to complain. You know, it's going to be a big mess out there when you do this. And they're not going to believe you. And God says, you know, I think you're right. I'll give him a break. But God can be reasoned with. And that's the beauty that comes out of the Old Testament. And God will learn, just as he wants us to learn. And that is the essence of our faith. It's a learning dynamic and reality. So hopefully we can walk out and with those eyes open, those ears open, appreciate the beauty around us, appreciate the people that we have, and find that God will never stop challenging us to find God in new ways. Amen.